Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Thank you, Father, for the grace. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for all that you have done this year. We are not careful in saying thank you. Lord, we declare you are worthy of our praise. And we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Let's appreciate the worship team. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. I have a very simple charge, I would call it. It's a charge tonight as we wrap up the year. For me, God has really been faithful. You saw that I just sat quietly, just reflecting on the songs. I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life. We have seen God's faithfulness. Lord, we thank you. I want to share with us something tonight that is very simple but powerful. I believe with all my heart that if we pay attention to these truths, they will make us reflect more of the Christ life in the name of Jesus. 1 John, please. The Epistle of St. John. God has been good to us in this ministry. You know, sometimes when I sit back and I think of the faithfulness of God, quite honestly, I feel guilty even trying to ask anything, because God has been good to me and He has been good to us as a ministry. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. For this is the message. We'll pick a few verses. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning. What is the message? That we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? That means, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Please continue. Go ahead. We know that we have passed from death to life, not by praying in tongues, not because we worship, not because we fast. This is the evidence that that transition is real. When we love the brethren, it says, he that loveth not his brother abided in death. Hallelujah. The Lord just put it in my heart to wrap up this glorious year, teaching us very briefly, or exhorting us on the supernatural power of love. The supernatural power of love. My name means the way to love. And I have taken out time to study very carefully the power and the possibilities that are contained in this word love. And I can tell you that if you understand the love of God and you can communicate that same love to your environment, your life will be miraculous. Are we together now? The Bible says, by this shall all men know. John 13. Yes. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as. That means to the degree. You don't love as you wish. You are given a standard. It's a commandment. It says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. 35. Read with me, please, Koinonia. I want to read. By this, hold on. By what? No. Not by love. By love to that extent. Not just by love. The leaders of Boko Haram are married. And they love their wives. They are responsible. So we cannot just trivialize. By this, what is the this? By loving to a level that all men know this is not human. Humans cannot love to this degree. It says, by loving to that dimension shall all men know. That means when people look at you, they know that it is not given to humans to love this way. Are we together now? Shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Are we together? Every time we talk about the issue of love, people shut down and think that the subject of love is a general subject for baby Christians or people who are bankrupt of spiritual revelation, or it's a feminist, an agenda that you should just leave it to our dear ladies and our sisters. And when you talk of faith, deliverance, men stand up and know that you are talking to us. Once they say love, people just say, well, love is easy, love is cheap. You see, the summary of Christianity is this. Listen, when all the stakes are down, Christianity can be summarized in just three things. Number one, an encounter with the love of the Father as revealed by the sacrifice of Jesus. Christianity, the summary of Christianity, number one is an encounter with the love of the Father. We have not seen the Father. No man has seen the Father at any time. But Jesus came as an expression of the love of the Father. So an encounter with the love of the Father as revealed through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Number two, the transforming power of that love in the believer. The transforming power of that love in the believer, it produces two things. One, conformity, and two, empowerment. That when the love of God is rich and dwells in the believer, it produces two things. One, conformity. That means that you conform to the fullness in experience now of the image, the character of the Christ. In other words, if the love of the Father is perfected in you, when I look at you, your tribe should not be the first thing that comes to my mind. I shouldn't look at you and say, ah, you look like an Igbo man, you look like a Yoruba person, you look like a Northerner. That means that that love should create the similitude of another culture, that when I look at you, I should be in the dark as to what physical territory to assign to you, because you are manifesting love like no tribe, no culture, and no territory on earth is able to give. Are we together now? So number one, an encounter with the love of the Father. Number two, the transforming power of that love, first in your life, producing conformity, and then empowerment. And then number three, the expression of that love through you to your world. This is Christianity. Doesn't matter what mysteries we teach, doesn't matter what signs and wonders, the summary, my brothers and my sisters, is an encounter with the love of the Father revealed in and through the sacrifice of Jesus. For God so loved the world. That was a foundation of every other thing he did. God so loved. Not for God so wanted a name. Cain built a city because he wanted a name. Nimrod, the son of Cush, killed his father, married his mother, began to manipulate the realm of the spirit to build a city in the line of Shinar because they wanted a name. He said, go to come, let us make bricks and mortar, let us build a city whose top, whose tower will reach the heavens, and let us make a name. But the Bible says, for God so loved, not himself, not for God so loved heaven, for God so loved the world. That's the foundation of everything. So you are not a Christian just because you pray in tongues. You are not a Christian just because you gave your life to Jesus. You are not a Christian just because you are an apostle or a prophet or whatever it is. You are not a Christian just because the word of God is working in your life and you are having prosperity, you are having cars, houses. I told you that the apex of Christianity is not even revelation, is love. That means if I look at your life and see every other thing but love, I have a right to question the validity of your encounter. Even if I see miracles, even if I see prayer, even if I see fasting, even if I see healing, as good as it is, our dear brother here, the deaf and dumb guy who was healed, as powerful as all that is, let me tell you, if you do not have love, you weigh very small in the spirit. Is God blessing us? I have watched believers, and I have seen the degree to which we have ignored the subject of love in pursuit for power, in pursuit for miracles. Right now, if you come to the body of Christ and what you are presenting is love, you weigh very small. If you come and what you are presenting is deep revelation, people say, that's right, now you are talking. If you come and what you have to present is signs, wonders, miracles, you hold the mic and people are shouting up and down, people say, my God, who is this? Where did he come from? If you come and you present skill, if you come and you present prosperity, you dress well, you have a lot of money, you come and you present intelligence, you are greatly celebrated. But when you come and what you have is love, people look at you and pity you and wonder where you have been, that you did not get more, because we have indoctrinated ourselves that only frustrated people have love as the last resort to give. The Bible says, this is a commandment that I have given you. In addition to power, in addition to grace, you must have love. Let me tell you something. Years ago, quite some years ago, I was in secondary school then. We were going to hold a crusade. And so we went to a church, you know, coming from an Orthodox background, we went to a church. It was a Pentecostal church. We were used to the Orthodox churches around giving us speakers, amplifier to use for our programs. So we went to one nice Pentecostal church. I saw the way they were jumping, their sounds were powerful, and I almost believed. I said, no, we've gotten it. We sat down there, and I remember the man of God preached on Solomon's wealth. that was the first time I saw people jumping up and down because they were excited. I said, what is going on in this church? You know, coming from an Orthodox background, how can somebody just be jumping because you believe that things will work for you? You know? And then we finished everything and we told the man, we said, we're young boys who just love God with all our heart. And we're putting a little crusade. You know, this is our school. We have permission from the school. And we just want you to at least help us with some equipment or at least advise us on how to go about it. The man was excited that day. He said, come the next day. I'm happy. You know, I remember you people remind me of myself. And we went there happily. And it's as if it's not the man we saw again the next day. We got there, and after waiting, the man came out and said, what are you looking for? We said, we are the young boys again, remember us? And he looked at us and said, what young boys? He said, did we come with a seat? I remember. I said, what seat? Look at us. What are we saying? We came to beg for speakers. You are asking us for seat. And I remember that man insulted us, physical insult, not like a parable. You know how, I don't want to use vulgar words. That man insulted us, insulted everything, and asked us to go out here. That the church is a church, a rental place. You know, he just, and that day, I remember walking back. I was broken. It wasn't about the sound again. I said, did it have to be this harsh? You would have just told us, young people, we appreciate your zeal, but we don't do this. Our system in this church doesn't work that way. But let me at least pray for you. God bless you. Oh God, give them speakers. It's they are serving. You know, something as matured as that. And this man just, I was touched. I remember him asking that, did we come with a seed? You know, he thought we came to sow, maybe for something. And we said, no, where would the seed come from? Can't you see us with school uniform? You know, and all of that. And that man, that day, I went back and I really began to think. And I said, okay, so how does this man treat his members? If boys as young as that were like his children, and you are shamelessly asking that I bring out a seed. If I had brought out my, how much is the pocket money? It's not more than 100 naira. You mean I will carry my 100 naira and give, and you truly will collect. Instead of him to even give us something and say on the way, maybe take. That's when I knew that the body of Christ has a serious problem with the issue of love. And let me tell you this. Even till today, that problem has not been solved in the body of Christ. The part that has been solved is our love towards God. Oh boy, we love God. We love God. I testify. Even the devil knows we love God. People have died for Jesus. People have been butchered for Jesus. People have relinquished their wealth, their estate, and everything for Jesus. But the Bible says, hearing, it says, by this shall all men know, not when you give your car for God and all of that, but when you have love one to another. The problem is expressing the reality of the love of the Father, so that your world will also be witnesses that, in addition to power, in addition to revelation, in addition to miracles, signs, wonders, that the love of God is established in you, not just towards Him alone, but towards God, towards men. There is very little love from one believer to another. We are largely self-centered and selfish beings. Now, when it comes to God, we can give everything. We love God and all of that. But when it comes to men, I never cease to marvel, my brothers and my sisters, at the level of selfishness and self-centeredness that is enshrined even in the best of us. Are we together? That the entire motivation behind the things that people do is an appetite for self-aggrandizement. Has nothing to do with deliberately focusing on the lifting, the blessing of another person. If I have nothing to gain from your life, then you remain useless until the day a need for you arises. It's a terrible philosophy. So our Christianity on one side, people clap for us because of the display of revelation and power and miracles. I just had this, my wonderful boys. These guys did like 12 hours praying non-stop, 6 hours or so in the morning, and they did a vigil non-stop. You can imagine that level of capacity in the spirit. But when it comes to the love issue, the world hates us, and we are like an odor. Are we together now? An odor, because that love issue cancels out everything, and it looks like we were faking the prayer, we were faking the fasting, we were faking the revelations. The summary of Christianity is not power, it's not miracles, it's not signs and wonders, it's the revelation of the love of God, the revelation of the love of God. The revelation of the love of God. That means if all that you do in what you call Christianity, love, is not captured, not just towards God alone, but towards men, provable, then it's a sign, the Bible says, that you are still in darkness and that you dwell in death. Are we together? We're going to read, we're still in epistle of St. John, 1 John chapter 3. Mighty God. We'll read from verse 14 down to 18, and then we'll jump to 23. 14 down to 18. Let's go. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abided in death. We are reading to 18. Whosoever hated his brother is a what? That means you are doing the exact same thing with terrorists. This is God speaking. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. How many murderers do we have holding mics as men of God? How many murderer apostles, murderer prophets, murderer teachers, murderer prayer warriors, murderer fasting giants do we have? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives, not just for him, but for our brethren. Next verse. But whoso hath this world's good, material things, any kind of physical, maybe monetary, you know, privileges or benefits, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? This is a question now. He's using an aspect that should be used as a litmus test for love. That's not the only aspect, but he's just borrowing an aspect to say, for instance, if you see a brother that you claim to love, a sister you claim to love, suffering, and you have the capacity. Remember, the Bible says, withhold not good from them with which it is due, when it is within your power. It says, my little children, let us not love in word. I love you. I love you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. You turn and say, I love you. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 23. And this is the commandment. This is his commandment. Are you seeing again? A commandment. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Believe in Jesus. Love one another. Believe in Jesus. Love one another. I learned this very early in ministry. Please come, a few of you, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, just come stand here. I learned this very early in ministry, that as a man of God, every time God gives you the privilege to have people sit like you are sitting and listen to you, that all those people you see are products, they are testimonies that you should not disregard, from people who have been broken and battered by life. Are we together? To people who have been disappointed by life, to those who are trying to ask, is God still alive? all of these people come together to your church or fellowship or group, just because they are laughing during praise and worship does not mean everything is all right. Let me tell you, the average church member is already a testimony reaching your church to sit down there. Are we together? Sometimes we trivialize how far the love of God flowing through us to people. Did you know that just turning to your neighbor, they say, turn to your neighbor and just say, God bless you, to you is a joke because they just paid you salary. But to someone else, that's the first time he's hearing a positive word in more than a year. This is not some Western emotional thing. There are people who are really wounded. Let me tell you the truth. There are people who are really, really broken. I know a woman who lost 3 of her children in one day. Just died like that. In one day, like that. Like Job, they announced to you, you lost someone. And now that person comes to church, just because the woman is Muslim faith to dance around, you will be surprised how far just a show of love. Did you know that no matter what Rema you are preaching that day, to enter here and go out there? Many of us have never been wounded by life to a level that you don't even, all that you want is a song, not a message. Has that happened to you? To a point that a message looks like an attack from hell. You don't even want to hear anything. You carry your Bible and you don't want to open. The only thing you want is just to hear someone sing the word and the life of God to you. And then here you come as a man of God. God gives you the privilege to minister the life and the power of God to these people. And all you are concerned about is, let them come and hear my revelation. Let them come and hear the Rema. Let them come and see the signs and the wonders. And while people are jumping and you join Satan to flatter you there, believing you are impressing everybody, someone is sitting and you are totally not ministering to the person. I have seen in my little life and in ministry what the love of God expressed can do. Not the love of God reserved. The love of God expressed. If the love of God is not expressed, it cannot profit anyone. I have had the privilege to allow the love of God flow from and through me to people, and I am amazed to see the healing power, to see the restoring power of that love. There are times, you know, because this place is like a place of pilgrimage. Sometimes you see people stand in the queue, and some of them are men of God. They come frustrated, beaten by ministry. They have kept every spiritual law to be kept, but nothing is working. And they just come regardless of what, you know, let me tell you something. I know many of you wonder why sometimes after preaching so powerfully, miracles, signs and wonders, I may still wait again behind to see people. And sometimes I can see people so late into the night and you are wondering, didn't they pray for you? Just believe and go. And sometimes the people that join the queue, they are funny. Exactly what I labored for 2 hours on stage. They say, Apostle, my life. I preach a message of hope. And now the person, Apostle, I don't even know where to start. My life. He said, what exactly? He said, where will I start from? Do you have time? He said, can't you see the queue? He said, I need time. And, you know, you look at them and you almost are saying, are you stupid? You know I've been standing while you are seated. But you just remember that this person, look beyond what their mouth is saying. Hear what their hearts are saying. Their hearts are saying, I am dying and dying seriously. I found my way as an act of God's mercy here. Don't let me go that way. You will be surprised that little ministration to that one person is more powerful than the person from the blind eye and the deaf ear that you open. That person will go back and die defending what you represent. Not because you gave revelation, you reveal the love of God. It is ugly to call upon the name of the Lord and turn and people see that what flows through you to men, it's not the love and the power of God. Love is powerful. It is supernatural. Love can heal. the tangibility of this love expressed through you can change your world. I have seen in my own little life that one of the most powerful platforms for soul winning, much more than miracle signs and wonders and the demonstration of the power of God, is love. Evangelism through love. I teach our school of ministry students that there is a dimension of evangelism that love preaches. People watch your life and see the sense of empathy, the sense of courtesy. You show them the excellency of a mindset, a frame of thinking that cannot be afforded in this earth. And they look at you and they wonder how a man's life can be this beautiful. When they know you should be angry, they see you demonstrate a level of maturity that men don't have. They know the level at which they offended you. Any human being should be angry, and you laugh off something that someone is dying over, and they look at your life and wonder, this love is not human. And you buy them over, not just to your God, but to your philosophies about life. There is a dimension of evangelism that only the love of God can present to a dying world. Is God helping us? And I think this is a powerful way, because the Lord declared that this is a year of signs and wonders, and truly we have seen the mighty hand of God. But that in addition to all of these signs and wonders, we must go back to understand the essence of all that we are doing. Brothers and sisters, the essence is not to build a name for a man or a people. It is not to multiply the influence of a man or people. It's an opportunity and a privilege given by God to us to be able to reveal the love, the tangibility of God's love, first to us from God and then through our lives. There are many homes today. Come, darling. There are many homes today that Jesus is not glorified. There is tongues in that house. You hear tongues 5 o'clock. There is an alarm that even from your house you will hear. You will know that Christians have woken up. Are we together? But by 9, you also hear the sound of the slap that comes from your own house too. You know that Christians are misrepresenting God somewhere in that house too. There's tongues, there's miracles, signs and wonders, but no love. Father has his own ego. Mother has her own pride. Two of them have read books about how everybody should defend their own psychological estate. And everybody is unwilling to pay the price to let the love of Jesus be revealed. And then here comes the arrogant children and their own juvenile delinquents, exuberance that came from everywhere, and then they bring it and add to the mix again. And an onlooker is watching Christians and they're saying, come to my church, come and be a Christian. And they're saying, to become this, you are a joker. I know that I'm not there yet, but this is not the way. I when I see the way, I know that this way was created by God. This one was created by culture and pride. The love of God. How many bosses and managers really love their workers? How many men of God love their workers? How many men of God love their pastors and people and leaders? Those who labor with all their heart to lift up the hands of the man of God to see Jesus glorified. How many people? You must not only love God, you must love men. And that love that comes first from God to you is not supposed to come out immediately. The love is supposed to stay and work in you. It's supposed to produce something first in your life, that you become a partaker of what the love of God can do to a man. And then out of the abundance of that experience, you now begin to allow that love to flow to people, regardless of culture. I say this with all humility and with all thanks to God. I will never do it as a person. You will never, anybody from whatever culture and whatever background, you are more than welcome in Koinonia. You will never come to Koinonia and say, ah, me, I am from this. Where are the people from my state? Come and I know no man after the flesh. If it is true that we hail from a kingdom that has vetoed our backgrounds, it must show in our convictions. Are we together now? Love. Let me share with you very briefly before we go to 1 Corinthians 13. I wrote down here four ways to demonstrate the love of God. Four scriptural ways. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Four scriptural ways that the Bible recommends as a system for allowing the love of God flow from you and through you to our world. Number one, the first way that we reveal the love of God to our world is through the ministry of intercession. Intercession for the lost, intercession for the hurting. It is a show of love. The ability to stand and pray rather than talk, pray. Rather than talk about your parents, pray. Rather than talk about what is not happening or what is happening, pray. The ministry of intercession is not only a proof of might in the spirit, it's a proof of love. That I can go to my secret place and with all the lists that I have, I decide to shelve my own desires and begin to call the name of a person to God. It is love. Whoever you take to God, you love that person. It's true. Are we together? Oh Lord, bless this family. I may not have the finances to bless them, but Lord, I saw that woman and I hear they are at the verge of a divorce. Lord, would you hearken to my prayer? I stand to pray. I know that they are not bad people. The devil is playing games in that house. And Lord, I stand as a watchman on behalf of that family. And it's not that you just go to them and say, remember, I prayed for you. You know, there's this funny thing that happens in Africa. Once you make it, people come and bully you with prayer. They say, I prayed for you when you were nothing. Now that you are this, that means there should be some kind of remuneration that comes as a reward. Intercession, motivated not by selfishness, genuine love. Lord, I pray. I have seen this family and nothing goes well in this family. You have put the burden in my heart. Lord, I don't even know the name of the members, but thank God I'm talking to an all-wise God. I saw them after Koinonia and there was a burden. I don't know anybody in the family, but Lord, I'm praying. Arise, O God. Let their enemies be scattered for the sake of your glory. And God is looking and saying, what kind of a woman is this? What kind of a man is this? And while they are doing that, you also have your own concerns. Areas you are trusting God to touch. Intercession for the lost. The body of Christ has forgotten this. We talk about people who are not saved and we say if they like, they shouldn't be born again now. Rapture is soon coming. You know, we make those kinds of statements and we don't have respect for the souls of people. The Bible says it is not God's desire that any soul should perish. Some of us have loved ones today. We know. Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or get you emotional, but some of us right now, our loved ones today, if they drop dead, they are going straight to hell. Straight. No discussion, no nothing. You may be saying, Apostle, I tried to preach to them and they will not even hear me. That's when you should go to God. Lord, my father cannot go to hell. He's still alive. Lord, my mother cannot go to hell. And while you are praying, listen carefully. While you are praying for them, some of them can even be insulting you at the point you are praying. That's why it's an act of love. It's not an act of faith. It's an act of love. Are we together? Jesus hung on that cross and saw the foolish and ignorant mankind that did not know that he did not come to die for himself. He was on that cross and there were two thieves. Remember? One foolish thief and one wise one. They were both thieves, and they were about to be punished for a wrong that they committed. Are we together now? And one was busy, you know, blaming and talking nonsense against Jesus, and then the other one, remember, we are suffering for a just cause. This man is innocent. And Jesus looks at him with compassion and says, this day, today, you didn't request it. He didn't say, have mercy on me. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. The Matthias, Stephen, the Bible lets us know they were stoning this man, stoning him to death. How do you pray for people who stone you? Are you getting what I'm saying now? That someone is persecuted, not that he persecuted you, he's doing it at that point, and yet you pray for him. This is maturity. These are the things that weigh so much in the spirit. These are the kinds of people that when they appear at the shores, the gates of eternity, the applause that we receive them with, not the mundane things we clap for people here on earth that weigh very little. Intercession. Lord, change them. Lord, change them. While you are talking, your stubborn brother just enters smelling smelling not alcohol, I don't know why I always forget the name, and the whole room, and he looks at you and you feel frustrated, and the devil wants to use your senses to say, look at the person you are wasting your time praying for. And even you have to ask yourself, will this guy ever change? And in your dreams you are seeing a man of God, not a smoker. And then the anger will make you say, I will beat this boy and kill him one day. I won't let police kill him. I will kill him by myself. And God says, you continue praying. One day when God is fed up with that nonsense, as that gentleman, God will win him by himself. Say, by himself. You don't know God too does evangelism? Ask Paul. Saul was on his way to Damascus as before, and my brothers and my sisters, that light knocked him down. Paul said, Lord. A man that went to collect a letter from a high priest. There's no man that Jesus cannot save. Oh, let me tell you the truth. There is no man that Jesus cannot save. God turned an arrogant king to a beast to eat for 7 years so that he will know that there is a God that reigns in heaven. God can go to any length to make sure our loved ones are saved. If we allow that incense of intercession to rise, to say, Lord, please, let them not die this way. Some of us, your salvation was 20 years of prayer by your mother and father. Is that true? Especially some of us who came from, you know, other faiths aside from Christianity. You think you just got born again, you just became a Christian. No, that mama never went to school, never had prosperity, but 5 a.m. on the dot, rain or sunshine, she will get up. The ministry of intercession. We must return back with a genuine burden for souls and a genuine burden for being concerned about the eternal destiny of people. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for advancement. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for increase. Thank God for signs and wonders. Thank God for growth in ministry. But my brothers, if our hope is only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. It's true. It's true. That your mind becomes covered from an eternal perspective, and all that is in you is, let me buy a car, let me be rich. Nothing is wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But if all you solve for people is earthly problems and their eternal destiny is still left in the dark, you didn't do much. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. John did no mighty miracles, But he was called the greatest of the prophets because he was the one who ordained the one who will save the souls of men. No miracle worker prophet in the Bible could save the souls of men. They could heal bodies. They could even change territories, but they could not touch the souls of men. I pray that someone will receive grace for intercession. That even during this Christmas period, much more than chickens, much more than turkeys and jumping around, that you write the list of your loved ones. That you write the list of people that are hurting. You just heard that a woman was in Maiduguri and Boko Haram just blew her husband and blew everybody. Have the conscience to think, what would this woman be going through? Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. Come through for this family. Lord, come through for this family. Some of us, like I preached the last time, we are already approaching a level in the spirit where if God does not help us, we love God, but our hearts are like stone. Say stone. A stone does not feel. You match it, it looks at you there. The Bible says, whose hearts have been seared with hot iron. Conscienceless. Doesn't matter what happens to anybody around me, provided it is not me, to hell with them. No, sir. Number two, the second way that we demonstrate the love of God to our world and to men is to seek the good and the well-being of one another, especially the brethren. To seek the good and the well-being of one another, especially the brethren. Who are the brethren? Members of the household of faith. Not just members of your church, not just members of your denomination. Administratively, yes. But then from a kingdom perspective, everyone who names the name of Christ and is part of the larger body of believers belongs to this family of faith. And you have a responsibility that in showing the love of God, you genuinely seek the good and the well-being of one another, and especially the brethren. Let's walk through a few scriptures here. Is God blessing someone already? Titus chapter 3. Please give it to us, media. Let's hurry up. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Titus chapter 3. One to read with me, Koinonia. One to read. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That you speak evil of no man is one of the ways that you show love. And let me tell you this, there is a big problem with this statement in Africa. Africa is a wonderful place. I'm an African, a Nigerian, and I'm proud of it. But let me tell you this, over 99% of the culture and the background, the cultural setting of Africa thrives on bad mouthing. Are we together? Thrives on ill speaking. The moment something nice is happening, you usually will find people who will group themselves according to their achievements or failures, and then they create a theme and now begin to attack the progress of people. It is a very difficult thing to find genuine show, to find people in Africa that genuinely love you and seek your good. If you are failing and you are not doing anything, that's all right. But let the hand of God just by any means come near your life. Africans have a bitter spirit. Just because we came from a foundation of suffering does not mean we distribute our pain across everyone, including our family members. It's only in Africa you feel guilty for doing well in life and doing well early in life. The moment they see a young man doing well, everybody gets angry. Say, look, not everything that glitters is gold. And we start bringing wise sayings that are supposed to be good but come from an evil heart. Seek the good and the well-being of others. It says to speak evil of no man. Listen, it's a training that the Spirit of God can help you to give yourself. Make up your mind to always be positive when you see people. Don't just always look for what is wrong in people. It's no news that people are a combination of assets and liabilities. Take your eyes away from the things that represent setbacks and weaknesses and focus on the things that represent strength. Did you know that if somebody is standing now, you look at the person and your eyes will go to what is wrong. This guy is nice, but why didn't he comb his hair? We are negative. It's a training by the devil. 99 wonderful things about your sister, but just because of the one challenge, you focus on it as if that's the only thing there. The man of God is an evangelist, but he's anointed, but he talks too much. Let's talk about the talking too much. And you spend 3 hours as if that's the only thing there. No, no. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6 says that the communication of your faith might be effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. It is healthy to acknowledge the good things in you and people. Did you know? Listen to me. Some of you, you have been the reason for your own downfall because of how we have been indoctrinated. You even hate yourself. It's embarrassing to you when you find good things in your own life, things that are noteworthy. So someone says, but God tried for you. You're a beautiful lady. Say, beauty where? And then you go back and then you say, God, but I'm beautiful. But what of this head? This is the problem. You see, and God is watching and said, ingratitude. I tried for you, but this one, you know, all those kinds of things. And you carry that pain and transfer it to everybody as though they are observing what you are observing. Whereas they are minding their business. They smile at you. Why are you smiling at me? My head, Abby. Who told you that's what the person is thinking about? What's the person's business with your head? People have their issues, my brothers and my sisters. Listen. Our personal frustrations are the vistas upon which we gauge what we think people are saying. And so we presume on people because of our personal frustrations. So whereas they are minding their business, you create things that are not there, believing that's what people are thinking and saying. To speak evil of no man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. God is delivering someone because you are going home, some of you. And you are going home, God doesn't want it to be the way it was last year. That as soon as you enter home, you look at everybody and you find out that they are praying and they don't even pray in tongues. They are not very anointed and you stand with your Pentecostal pride. You just look and say, my God, look at these guys. I mean, prayer zero. And you see that air of pride. But the Bible says to speak evil of no man. Some of you are going back to your local churches where you have your very old reverend and you are about to say all kinds of things again, and you go there with your enlightenment, dimensions in the spirit, all kinds of things you can quote all the scriptures, and while you sit down, the pastor is making a mistake with his quotations and the rest, you just laugh and say, oh dear, these people. And you see them singing a song. You are a music minister. They are singing a song playing off key. They don't even know when the song has finished. And you come. Remember, you are producing an album. And that anger and that pride. Listen, you are very matured when you see wrong things and have the discipline to still be quiet. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Listen carefully. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, he said, put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Go ahead, next verse. Oh, are you sure? That's all. Please go back. 4. Okay, yeah, that's true. And be ye kind. Go back to 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. Say, I put away. All bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all evil speaking.
Are we together? See her coming again. See him coming. Just because they bought bag of rice, so they didn't even allow me see it. Me, that I'm the one that brought it. You see that love is not child's play. Yes. Learn to be positive about people. Do you know there are some of us, you don't have any discussion if you are asked to not say anything negative. You'll be surprised how you will look for what to say, and there's nothing else to say. Because the basis for discussions, now this is not tell them, tonight is, I'm giving you an admonishment. It's something I have trained myself and I still continue to train myself to do. Once you are not negatively communicating something, you honestly don't have any discussion again. To a point that you are used to be negative. What happened in Koinonia today? Mighty, it was wonderful. But I think the light went off somewhere. I don't know what happened. Technical. Eh? You didn't enjoy the worship? You didn't enjoy the word? The fellowship? I refuse to be negative in my life. Truly, I refuse it. I see the good in people. It's not news that people are imperfect. You are not just knowing. News is only news when it is new. It's an old story. The imperfection of men is something that has been documented all through scripture. So when your father shouts at you and insults you, it's not news. You must build a fortification around your life to still love in spite of what happens. Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verse 8 and down to 15. Colossians chapter 3. Is God blessing someone? Now, he said, but now ye also put off all these. Ready? Let's read the list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Stop here a bit. Let's not rush this thing that is just written there. There are many of us, lying for you is not an attack. It's something that is self-inflicted. You gave Satan room by yourself. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, in the multitude of words, multitude of words, there are many of us, the level at which we lie is disturbing. Even God is concerned. Are we together? You can sit down and lie for 3 hours non-stop. I'm not condemning you. It's a concern. Must you say, and you know, when everybody keeps quiet and they are listening to you for a long time, is to tell you they are beginning to pick the signals. Learn it. That itch to always be the controlling speaker in the midst of people, and then there's nothing to say and you begin to create stories. And do you know, when you lie for a long time, you too will believe it. You will forget that it once started as a lie. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, let's jump to 14 and then 15. That's where I'm looking for. 14 and 15. It says, above all these things, put on, that's love now, which is the bond of perfectness. The last verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you were also called in one body, and be ye thankful. That you put the bond of perfectness. You must receive grace tonight to seek the good of others. To seek the good of others. That I genuinely come, Sam. Oh, by the way, you are looking lovely with your agbada. These my dear people. I mean, I saw all of them. You are not the only one. Welcome, come, quickly. Drama. I mean, look at this beautiful. Stand this side. This is This is destiny. I'm very proud of you. I mean, when you see the Son of Man in power and glory, I mean, the word can be pending every day. A time will come, it will become flesh. So I'm happy. This is absolutely beautiful. Praise the Lord. You look at these people and say, what is there in Agbada? What is there? Do you have it? You see? Don't trivialize the help of God in people's lives. Don't be negative. Listen. I brought them out to fish out something from you. Just because it's not you standing here. Are you seeing? Do you know the same thing we criticize, we secretly want? We secretly admire. Just because it is not you. Are we together now? What is there? This guy that I know that he even borrowed money to buy it. Okay, we agree. But he's still wearing it. Just celebrate God with him and be honest and say, wow, I thank God, this is beautiful. You look very handsome here. And be truthful. Try it and see how your heart will almost want to fall. That's to tell you there was something there needing correction for a long time. Notice how uncomfortable we feel every time we go all out of our way to celebrate people. That's to tell you it doesn't come natural. There is a negative buildup that the devil has planted there. Oh, Sam, you're looking wonderful. Oh, you're looking nice. And then you feel cheated because you feel so, who will now celebrate me now? Oh, the Lord just blessed me with a car. I'm a young man. I just bought. And then you go and look at it. You say, he blessed you with a Golf or a car. Is it this Golf that the door, you have to put your hand inside and open it. Is this a car? You see, listen. It is a very devilish approach. It's a Luciferian spirit. At least the person is not a thief. He's openly walking his way slowly through life. Are we together? Oh, wow, this is wonderful. And he's even ashamed though. I say, sorry, sir, my door is from inside. They say, no problem. The Bible says line upon line. And you encourage the person. That you sit down and say, is this the car? Somebody say, come and dedicate my house, and you go and say, which of the rooms? This one is leaking, this one is open. They didn't plaster everything. Where is your television? I say, well, we're still trusting God. For now, I have a little mattress, and you just laugh and clap your hands. Say, when you are ready, call me. God is watching. Just because God has helped you does not mean you turn back at people and look at them. No. Let me tell you the truth. One of the reasons why I seldom visit people, aside from my busy schedules, is because sometimes I don't like the pressure that I see in families when they know that Apostle is coming. Sometimes they go all out of their way to do things, and sometimes things that are more than their financial level. No, if it is Gary you drink in your house, if I come, let's drink it together. If I'm too big to drink the Gary, then I leave it there. That's what you have. Don't put yourself under trouble. Apostle is not God, he's a man. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. Don't speak evil of people. And don't discourage people. I remember times when, I'm glad we're all here, my friends. Oh, Manasseh is here with us, by the way. Bless you. Thank you, Manasseh. Listen. I'm not ashamed to say there were times in my life when I would never dream of the things God is doing now, in terms of the help of God on my life. That's why when I see people, and you know, sometimes they try to feel bad and say, Apostle, see us, we are just coming, this, my trouser is 200 naira. I say, thank God, and wear it with dignity and honor. A day will come, you will be able to carry everything and give the nations. Success is not any man's personal property. There are keys, and everybody can step into it. What you are learning will bring you there. Yes, it will. There's nothing to hide. A day will come, you will sit down and turn to your garage and say, Lord, look at what you have done. You will go down on your knees and say, God, what have you done to me? And God says, I'm just starting. Since you gave me your heart. But don't laugh at people. Don't be sarcastic. Don't speak evil of people. I just got a job. What job? One factory like this that makes... I'm still here to understand what they make. How much is your salary? Well, I get 6,005. And you say 6,005. That's what I just sent somebody to go and use to buy food for me. And I said, you mean that's what you get per month? Well, may God help you. No, that's wickedness. It's not even just being bad, it's wickedness, because you are discouraging that person. 6,005 gotten through honor is better than 1,000,000 that is gotten through deceit. That person is better than many young Nigerians crossing their legs, waiting for their parents to die so that they'll take their inheritance. At least the man is demonstrating responsibility. I assure you, if that person continues, he will not remain at 6'5". God is the one who supervises his laws. Are we together? Thank you, guys. God bless you. Thank you. Seek the good of one another. Seek the good of one another. When you hear that something is going wrong with someone, don't just turn and say, I told him. No. You know, a gentleman just told me something, you know, that they stole from him not too long. My heart was beating. I said, oh God, all these thieves, oh God, direct the policemen to where these people gather and let them at least apprehend them. Why will they come and cause pain to a family like this? When it does not concern you and you still feel burdened, you are a good person. Don't wait until the day the trouble comes to your house. Mordecai was already seated there, but he went to fetch his village niece and said, let her be lifted too. He would have said, at least I'm in the palace. He didn't know that her that she brought would be the secret to his own lifting too. Mordecai would have remained in the palace and said, no, so that this lady will become queen one day, and now I will now bow the knee to her. No way. He would have left her there. But Mordecai said, come. The king is looking for a wife. Oh yeah, go and join the line. And she went and became queen and forgot about Mordecai. Mordecai said, no problem. And Mordecai never said, you forgot about me. I will tell the king you are a Jew, and you will see what they will do to you. No. His burden was because of what Haman was doing, not his own personal care. May God give us the gift of good people. Good people. That people look at you and they want to be your friends. I will tell you the reason why many of you don't have friends. You are not good people. I'm not insulting you. It's a description. That attribute... that attribute of goodness is not there. Nobody can trust what you can say about them when they are not there. The moment you say, wow, wonderful, they are afraid of going because they don't know what you are going to say. As soon as they shut the door, you just call the other person and say, one stupid person. No. Can't you be good and genuinely good? Pastor Alpha, God bless you. You are a blessing. And when he closes the door, you say, wow, praise the Lord. I truly am happy for him. Make up your mind that you are truly going to be a good person. Number three, the third way to express the love of God is through giving. Your giving. John 3:16. Giving. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. When I say giving, I'm not just talking of money alone. Money is not the only thing you give. You can give advice. You can give, you can bring your reputation and your credibility for someone to leverage upon to rise. It's a gift. Are we together now? It's a gift. The gentleman just got a job, and I was so happy when he told me he got the job, because he comes from a family where nobody had really risen, and he cried to me, and where he was looking for that job, God gave me the privilege to know somebody there. And I called the person. I said, I know this person, you know, please, if there's a way you people can help him. Oh, my apostle, I'll do my best. It's not easy, but I'll do the best for you. And he called me like towards the end of November to say, are you sure? Can you vouch for this person? I said, well, I can't guarantee for any. I'm not God, but I can tell you he's a nice person. And that's it. The guy called me rejoicing. And it's a place that the salary, I mean, it's something that you will glorify God if they give you the salary. And I was happy. when your credibility is given as a gift and someone experiences the greatness of God through it, is a gift. Gift is not always about money. Are we together now? You can give your expertise. During our peace concert and the time we had to bless our community, many professionals here gave of their skills. Our doctors, our medical personnel, our lab technicians, everyone. There are people serving in this house, and what they are doing requires skill. And they paid themselves to train themselves, yet they give it free. It's a gift, and it's proof of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. Everybody say his only. There are times you have to give even your only. You don't have to give only when you have options. You can give your only. That's what makes your gift sacrifice. 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3. We read it earlier on. Let's just look at it again. He said, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Many believers are not genuine givers. They are givers to men of God. They are givers to people who can see and accredit what they are doing. But their benevolence never gets to people who don't have what it takes to bless them. You are truly a giver, not just when you bless people who have what it takes to acknowledge you alone. Are we together now? If you buy me a car today, I appreciate you. But if someone is looking for lunch, especially now, you can't do everything to everybody. But my brothers and my sisters, your life has to at least be a blessing to somebody. It can't be so bad that you cannot bless somebody. Some of these are children around. Their school fees, they belong to a lot of these government schools. And some of them sincerely, I don't think their school fees is up to, I'm not sure it's up to 2,000. So you don't have to wait until you have a foundation, call your name foundation. No. You can communicate the love of Christ. There are times I look at people and you know, hunger has a presence. You know this person has not eaten. It's not that he has not eaten well. He has not eaten. Let's not act like we are not aware of these things. You don't have to wait sometimes until people come and beg you. God has helped you and you are able to at least reach out to somebody. Now the Christmas period is coming. And there are so many people who are sitting, some are already depressed, wondering, even if it is half tier of rice that you buy and say, Mama, thank you. And she looks at you and says, my daughter, did you have to do this? I thought you were a copper. You say, no problem. We are receiving 20,000. Say, from your 20,000, that's what you have done. Say, Mama, just to bless you, genuinely. Let me tell you, aside from the blessing that follows giving, giving is more than, is better than greed. Even if there were no blessing, you are healthy when you give. The psychological feeling of being a blessing is health to you. I'm not a doctor, but I've lived long enough to know what giving can do to you. Don't you know that it takes a lot of effort to be greedy? The torture you go through by lying that you don't have, when you have. Yes, you do that to 100 people and you see what happens to your health. Giving is a way to be healthy, because when you give, you create laughter, the sense of fulfillment that comes knowing I may not have gotten to my future, but I'm the reason why this woman is laughing. I'm the reason why her children are in school. Lord, I give you the praise. And you know you are bringing joy to the heart of the Father, and you know you are making impact. You are not blessing the whole world, but one at a time. It will keep you healthy. Giving. I am a giver. I'm not ashamed to say it, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm a giver. and I will continue to give. Not many people can say this, because we are afraid that by the time you say you are a giver, someone says, thank you Jesus, I came to the right place. I mean, God, thank you, this is koinonia. After service I'm waiting, I will beg apostle and I'll remind him, apostle, you are a giver, don't forget. I'm still not afraid. I am a giver. It's true. It has nothing to do with abundance. It's a spirit. There is a grace that helps men give. If you cannot give money, you can give access. If you cannot, you can. Do you know prayer is a gift? Somebody's secret place is carrying to advocate for you. Lord, bless this person. God answered people in the Bible for the sake of others. It's a gift. Please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, conquer greed. My brothers and my sisters, conquer greed, especially greed in the area of finances. Conquer it. There are many bad husbands in the world who are greedy. Their hands are like this. There are many bad wives who are in the world. Their hands are like this. There are many bad children in the world who will rather use their money to bury their dead parents than to at least bring joy to them. Now, it is not a scriptural responsibility of a son and a daughter to take care of their parents. Mm-mm. Parents give wealth to children, not children to parents. Are we together now? But if for any reason your parents did not know the way and God has now helped you to come, you put a smile on their face. You don't sit down and say, you punished me. It's because of you I went to a nonsense school. I had to re-educate myself again to get a job. And now you want me to come and give you this. No. Give. Give. Immediately after the grace, you are going to see this, my little children run and come. Do you know, it never tires me to hug and bless these children with all my heart. And when I see them, sometimes I know they are hungry, because children don't have that grace to stay that long. Some of them came way before service started. And my body is itching, wondering, what can I do? Do I interrupt the welfare to say, carry all the donuts and come and give the children? You know, it was while I was driving coming here that I just remembered that, we didn't do anything for our children. Or at least would have made one of these gentlemen Father Christmas. And given, so even if it's today, even if it's just the cap, and giving the children a little hamper, biscuit and something. What? Don't punish them because you didn't have the privilege to enjoy it. I still feel sad as I'm talking to you like this. Our children deserve to see the love of God through us. You see these children, some of them prayer band on Tuesday. When you are not praying, they are there praying. Praying in fluent tongues. Advocating. Oh God, they raise a prayer point and they join. Intelligently. They clap hands, they keep quiet too. They are far older than their age because their love for God has increased their wisdom. They deserve honor. I pray for you that you will be givers. I truly pray for you with all my heart. Kill greed. Kill greed. Let visitors not come to your house and you sit down as if you are not aware somebody is there. Abba, let's be sincere. How much is a loaf of bread? Buy a loaf of bread, make tea or something. Don't do it complaining. There's a way you give that is better to not even collect from you, because the anger you put on what you are giving is, it should not be received. Is this for me? It's your own now. Take it now. You're not seeing, please. Abba, you're doing as if you have never eaten. That's not giving. There is an attitude that follows giving. Don't just laugh. I'm serious about what I'm saying, because many of us, the way you give, the person who receives feels so bad. Uncle, please help me with 1,000. After probing the person as if you are giving the person employment, you now give the person this and say, okay, so I've given you this now. I must see that bad. And you frustrate and humiliate the people. No. It has nothing to do with culture. If you can't give to God and you can't bless people, your home is already in trouble, married or not. It's a habit. It will not just suddenly be created when you get married. Gentlemen, give. Gentlemen, give. Conquer greed. Don't let the awareness of lack and insufficiency make you to not be a giver. Learn to give. Number four, I want you to listen very carefully to this point. The fourth way that I wrote down here to show love is to be a peacemaker. Write it down. The fourth way to express the love of God to the world, a determination that you will be a peacemaker. Much more than seeking the good and the well-being of others, that you will be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. There are people that the Bible calls peacemakers. For they shall be called the children or the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore, let's read together. One to read. Let us therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. He said, follow the things that make for peace. That means pursuit is not enough. You should check. How many people will this destroy for me to get it? And when you find out it will destroy too many people, it's not worth it. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You must trust God for grace. Not everything pursuable is worth pursuing. Sometimes when you look at the destruction it creates to too many people, you just say it's not worth it. Blessed are the peacemakers. He says, let's follow the things that make for peace. One more scripture and I'll tell you a few things about being a peacemaker. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. 12:18. Romans chapter 12. 1, 2, read please. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Everybody say it is possible. Leave that scripture there. The Bible says as much as is possible. The Holy Spirit represents capacity for possibilities. So it is possible that you can live with peace. Do you know this is a plea? Because men are harsh. They will give you reasons to fight. They will give you reasons to... Do you know there are people who will intentionally look forward to the day they pick a fight with you? And the Bible says, if it lies in you, live peaceably. Live peaceably. Let me tell you this. I have learned in my little life, I live a very happy and a very peaceful life. Believe me. A very happy and a peaceful life. Intentionally designed. When it comes to the issue of peace, there are a number of things you need to know. Number one, that the troubles around you does not have to get into you. Listen carefully. You want to enjoy peace and be a peacemaker. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me. There is no one under the sound of my voice who has not seen all kinds of troubles and storms in your life. It is not unusual to see storms. It is not unusual to be surrounded by uncomfortable situations. Listen very carefully. But the Bible teaches that in the midst of storms, men can find peace. There are many people, you look at them looking far older than they really are, wrinkling themselves, and you ask them, why now? Smile, and they say, smile for what? Are you not aware of what Nigeria is like? Are you aware they've not paid me salary for 3 months? Are you aware my wife is not working? I'm angry. In fact, self, the other day I was thinking of killing myself. I made up my mind that there is nothing in my life that sustains the ability to disturb the restfulness of my heart. It is true. I live a very peaceful life. I've already calculated the worst thing that can happen to me, and is death. And I found out that even in it, I'm still victorious. It's true. You must sit down and make up your mind. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, the value of peace cannot be gotten for any other thing. No matter what else you have in your life, if you don't have peace and if you don't communicate peace to others. Come, Pastor Alpha. Come, Pastor Femi. You are going to match his leg. Gently. Literally stepping on someone's toes. Okay, put your... Sorry, eh? Now, watch this. What do you think Pastor Femi's wife would do seeing this person stepping on her husband's toe? And forget about them. Men can pretend and just go through the heat and sweat it out. But the women... What do you think is happening now? You are stepping on my husband and then I step on the toe and even add this. And I'm putting a burden. I'm just giving you an example. You are stepping on his toe and someone is observing. Do you know it is within his power to choose whether to still live in peace or to make trouble out of it? You must master the art of deflating situations that were inflated by darkness to complicate your life. Now, it is true that this person is matching his leg. And now he can gently tell him, okay, take it. And do you know you can decide to keep quiet with this? Just as an example, you can keep quiet with this and trivialize it and let things go, giving an assumption that he did not know what he was doing, or you can make it a big deal and go to Kenny, who happens to be your elder brother, and say, elder brother, come, this our step brother or sister. Do you know they are stupid people? He matched my leg. And he said, you think you're... I saw it too. Say, you saw it, but thank God you're a witness. You, did you see it? You see, you are creating unnecessary complications. My Bible says there are people called peacemakers. Everybody say it. Many of you have made your loved ones hate your loved ones because you said things that you would have trivialized. To have sustained the maturity to trivialize it. Don't be the reason why the heads of people continue to be joined together. It's not a blessing. Are we together now? Just because a woman told you that her husband said, Kai, the man is not becoming responsible, she doesn't know whether she's even suspecting, whether he's looking at someone somewhere, and you just keep quiet as if you were cleaning the table when you had it, and you just quietly go and say, madam, sorry, yo, I'm not, it's usually not my culture to discuss things like this, but I don't know this, and you start to talk and run your mouth and create a trouble between a husband and a wife, and you enjoy the fact that they are all marching to the court to collect a letter of divorce. Is that an achievement? That what God joined together, you came and put your head there, you think you are free? Did you not hear the warning that let no man put asunder? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. But some of the things that some, with all due respect to our elderly ones here, sometimes you notice our fathers will do a lot of things and our mothers will go all out of their way and correct it and give the credit back to the men. And you look and you are angry. Now you are grown, you know why they did what they did. It was the price to keep the house in place so that you can grow and know God. Peace is costly. Sometimes you have to allow your ego to be stung for peace to reign. Sometimes you have to play the fool for peace to reign. In our right conscious, ego conscious society, is my right. I went to school. You can't treat me as if I'm an illiterate. And everybody, you fight your way to destruction. And you find out every helper God put in your life, you destroyed. Because you did not sustain the fortitude to just swallow some things. And swallow them genuinely. Not swallow and regurgitate them after 4 months. And say, I just kept it there. Now is the time for it to come out. No. Blessed are you if you sustain the maturity and the spirituality to be able to forbear. It's a quality in the spirit called forbearance. The ability to know that Pastor Femi at his best is still limited. Joshua Selman at his best is still limited. Pastor Alpha at his best is still limited. Let it not surprise you. Are we together now? So you must learn that. 24 hours is too much for someone to hurt you. The probability that you will be hurt in 24 hours is 100%. How many percent? Say it again. The probability that somebody will act foolishly towards you in 24 hours is 100%. The probability that you will be betrayed, the probability that someone will trivialize your success in 24 hours is 100%. Let me tell you something. I have programmed myself to not be disappointed in people. It's not that I expect it, but I've created a system of fortification so that nobody's disappointing me ever surprises me and reaches the level where it destroys my capacity for advancement, because the best of us is still human. I never expected that my father would refuse to pay my final year school fees. I can't believe this. You better believe it. This is the world. Your father is human. Whether for a demonic reason or a selfish reason, what has happened. So rather than sitting down there to reminisce on his not paying your school fees until you lose an opportunity that becomes a bigger wound, you trust God for that healing and know that, all right, if he's not paying my school fees, Lord, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Provide for me by your spirit. The heart that disappointed expectations bring is something that only God can heal. So you must begin to train yourself to know that men are frail, men are mortal, men at their best are still humans. When you know that, nothing truly surprises you. I gave an instruction for someone to do something for me, and the person wasted my time, and it was very clear that the person was dubious and did something sad. We're discussing it with my protocol people as we're coming, and I was telling them, I said, you see these kinds of things. But the moment I suspected a foul play, already in my heart, I already made up my mind that I was going to get that thing again. So I'm not disappointed. Imagine that I came to Koinonia frowning, and in your mind you are saying, Apostle, why are you frowning? I say, why wouldn't I frown? Do you know what happened? This is how many of us carry these things, and they wrinkle us. They ask you, how old are you? Say you are 21. Say it's a lie. Ah, me, I thought you would soon be 50. Because a broken spirit can dry the bones. Are we together? So you live a happy life. Oh, I just heard that this and that happened to you. I just heard that this happened. Say, glory be to God. I know that God is faithful. Why are you always happy and laughing? Because I know that crying will not add or take anything. So I choose to laugh. It's a choice. It's a choice. Brothers and sisters, don't allow the burdens in your life to destroy you. Learn to be happy. Men, there is a spirit upon us to make sure we die fast. We must cast our generation. Do you know statistically men die faster than women because of the burden of life? In Africa, I think 48 or so is the average age. Can you imagine how saddening this is? By the time a man is 48, already he's already afraid. My first son is a useless boy. The other lady, I thought she would have finished by now, is now she's trying to get to SS2. Are we together? The twins, they have refused to grow. I don't even understand. They are acting as if they are stupid people. And my wife, that now I even think she will be a wise woman. She was wiser when I married her. Now I don't know what association. And you see, the man is thinking, and the devil continues to add, what of your relatives? Yes, thank you for reminding me. My relatives are evil people. What of your boss? My boss is a wicked man. Wants to make sure I'm not promoted. And at the end of it, you see people start talking to themselves on the road. You've heard me say it. Look around now and see people talking to themselves. The man is driving and talking. You think he's making a call? He's alone. And he's just talking. Not like prayer, walking and all of this. Just frustration. Is this how life is? You see people sit outside very young. They just sit down. What's wrong? And after 2 days, you hear that they are dead. I reject it. I reject it for myself. I reject it for you. Because you are going back home now. Many people have said many things about Nigeria. Some of us are going to go and see your loved ones, and you go and see their tears, and they say, come and join us, cry. And they say, no. I'm a peacemaker. Your wicked mother has been waiting for you to come because I want to beat her in your presence so that you will now know. And he said, no, daddy, it shouldn't be. No, look, I'm the... It's well. Not mommy, you said, well, yeah, say your own version, let me hear. And you are enjoying the argument. And God is watching, say, your heart is wicked. Because you too, one day you will get married. Or one day you will get old. Your mother is beating your father together with the sisters. You now come and you say, well, I can't stop it. The man, please beat him a little, at least let him. You are a peacemaker. Can you stand between them and say, this is not the way forward? I choose to be a peacemaker with my life. Psalms 34 and verse 14. We are praying. Make up your mind, I wrote here, to live a simple, uncomplicated life. Let me tell you this. The wisest people on earth are those who have been able to think of posterity and they live their lives intelligently. There are people, when you look at them, the complications around their life is too much. They have a book with enemies where they write the list of those who have offended them. Anybody you call, they can tell you what the person has done that is bad. It's terrible. You live a life of anger. You live a life of frustration. You live a life of this and that. And the devil continues to program a system to create those things again. I believe in God with all my heart. And I make up my mind to be a peacemaker. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. I agree, my brothers and my sisters, there are times that you may not have the tea and bread. I agree there are times that you may not have it the way you planned. And I know that the disappointment that comes from life, when you invest expectations and you don't get what you desire, it can be painful. I agree. But you have a choice. You can choose to allow it ruin and destroy your life, or you can gain stability through knowledge and say, I live a joyful life. Have you heard of the story of those who die laughing? Minutes before they die, they begin to smile. I see the heavens open. And when they die, the laughter is still there. They cheated death. They cheated life. What of those who are alive and yet they are dead? They squeeze their face, squeeze everything. Good morning, morning. Good afternoon, afternoon. Good night, they don't answer. It's bad. Okay, everybody come together. Let's pray. In Jesus' name. Just appa. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new. I choose to be happy. I choose to be a peacemaker. It's a covenant that I've made myself that nothing in life, my brothers and my sisters, is worth frustrating me to a point that I sit down and I cannot be happy and then I don't sleep. It's a joke. That thing has not yet come to earth. What I'm saying is surprising many of you now. You need to lay it down. I've forgotten that song now and our time has gone. One song that says, lay it down. Yes, that's the song. Sing it for me. God is ministering to you. Carry that load. It's the devil that put it and lay it down. I don't know anything about the song. Don't expect me to join you. You just sing it. Somebody tonight has got to say, Lord, my life cannot continue like this. I cannot carry the challenges in life and put on my head when the keeper of Israel. If God is not sleeping and me too, I'm not sleeping, something is wrong. The keeper of Israel. My brothers and my sisters, listen. I have learned something in this life. Except the Lord builds a house, you see, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over a city. Let me comfort someone. It says that the builders build but in vain. It is vain to wake up in the morning, to sleep late in the night. only to eat the bread of sorrow, but he giveth his beloved sleep. I know you didn't get admission, but don't let it kill you. You are about to destroy yourself, and you will be talking yourself till you get to the middle of a road and a tipper will come and kill you for nothing, and the world continues to go. You must learn to laugh at your challenges. You write them down and say, Lord, you are the reason why it was not worst, and I give you all the praise. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this rent. And while you are talking, the landlord is sending you a text and saying, it's because I've been watching you. When I come back by 10, you will see what will happen. I'm coming with a police. Listen, no matter what you do, whether you cry or laugh, it's still going to happen. So you be still and let him go, and prove that he is God in your life. Are we together? Oh, did you get the admission? I didn't get the admission. Oh dear, and you are smiling like this. Well, God is faithful. I know that God is alive. Did you get the job? No. Did you get the promotion? Oh, the other colleague got it. No problem. Oh, you're overdue for a director now. The devil is using that person to annoy you. Are you seeing now? Instead of the person to keep quiet, the person is rubbing it in. And then you now sit down. Are we together now? And then you find out that with all of these things, you are getting angry. And the person is laughing. Say, no problem. Me, I know you are the one who deserves this thing. And he's rubbing it in and making it pain you. And you just laugh it over. Say, it's all right. What position did your child take? You say, well, he's not really doing very well. Now, what is it? I want to know. Out of 30, he got 27. Say, you are smart. Your wife is smart. Where did this boy get his phone? You know, human beings can rub this thing in a way that it can be hurtful. You come back from a meeting where you are disappointed. The power of God did not move like you expected. And someone comes and says, oh yeah, tell us how many blind eyes opened, how many deaf ears opened. And you know that that person is trying to laugh at you. He may be innocent. And you're saying, well, God is faithful. And the person listens to the message and says, well, no, instead of him to say you did well, say, well, you can do better. I know that. And you feel that sting. Can you learn to laugh not at a storm, in the storm? Frustrate Satan by making up your mind as you wrap up this year and prepare for the new year, that nothing in this life, Satan, you will not see my tears again. You will not, if I should cry, I will cry before his presence. I will not let you sit and no. I refuse it. You will not see my tears. Some person promised to marry you, and after the introduction or whatever, he now ran away and say, I'm not doing, carry your load and your trouble. You are a stupid girl. You are deliverance. God has delivered me from all those kinds of things. And you just move gloomy. Am I this bad? Am I not a beautiful girl? And no. Give Jesus praise. You see, let me tell you this. The awareness that God is still on his throne should comfort you. Your fear should only start when you hear that there is another war in heaven, and that God himself is even trying to find out where the throne is. That's when you should be afraid. But for as long as he's still seated, my brothers and my sisters, do you not know he's still the lifter? Remember our teaching here. God can lift men. So you go home and tell them, I know that we don't have money. I know that we don't know where this is coming from. And people pass your family like Job. They say that man used to be a director. It's a shame that they cannot afford chicken for Christmas. And you know, everybody is fighting, and you tell them, look, let's give God thanks. 11 people in this family, 11 people are still alive. If we don't have chicken, we should thank God. You are a peacemaker. Don't be a trouble creator. Your friend comes back angry and she's insulting everyone. You should be the one to say, my dear, I know it's painful. How can this guy? No, it's okay. I know we are humans, but God is alive. You begin to speak scriptures, not culture. Not as a wise saying, when a cow sees it, in the name of Jesus. You are a Christian. It is only the word of God that is quick and powerful. Are we together? Yes. The Bible says, though weeping endures for a night. The person will be acting like he's not entering him. The word of God will enter anything and change it. And at the end, you see the person saying, thank you, I feel better. You have demonstrated the love of God. You are a peacemaker. Make up your mind to be a peacemaker. Ladies, reject this advocacy that comes from the Western world that ladies are troublemakers. Ladies, I reject it for you in Jesus' name. Say amen. From soap operas to movies to all kinds of things, they advocate ladies as troublemakers. And without the Holy Spirit, it is true. I love you, ladies. You know that with all my heart. I'm not a gender. Listen, without the help, the same way without the help of the Holy Spirit, anything for men too is true. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us all together. There's a joy in my heart, in spite of all the sadness that surrounds me. And this joy in my heart only comes alive every time I hear your voice. Just the guitar. There's a peace in my heart, in spite of all the sadness that surrounds me. And this peace that I have only comes alive every time I hear your voice. Comes, it comes alive every time I hear your voice. Sing with me. There's a peace, hey, in my heart, in spite of all the troubles that surround me. And this peace that I have only comes alive every time I hear your voice. It comes alive. We're going to pray. This is how we want to wrap up 2018. That Lord, your love is at work in me. At work in me. And part of the dimensions of that love is the peace of God. Unperturbed. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
It comes alive.
Hallelujah. Prayer point number one. God, throughout 2018, I declare you faithful. You are still faithful. I don't care what happened or what did not happen. I call you faithful. Lord, I thought I would be abroad by now, but I still call you faithful. Before we go into the love part, call him faithful. You have done all things well. Testimony or no testimony, I give you the glory, O God. Some things this year made you cry. Some things this year made you rejoice. Lord, together, I give you glory. The reason for my joy. The reason for my hope. We are going to pray. Father, let your love be established in my life. May I begin to enjoy personally the reality of the love of God. Lift your voice and pray. The reality of your love. The reality of your love. The reality of your love. Are you praying? Shabarakatos kalabaros. The reality of your love.
the reality of your love.
Hallelujah.
Lord, take away the spirit of hatred in me. Hatred towards my fellow man. That bitter spirit that I struggle with. That every time I see something that is worthy of celebration, something in me begins to react. Please open your mouth and pray. I'm tired of hating my loved ones. I'm tired of hating my stepbrothers and my stepsisters. Take away hatred, oh God. Let the love of God be furnished within my heart. I declare that I cannot hate. I refuse to hate. I refuse bitterness. I refuse resentment. Hallelujah. You're going to pray and say, Lord, the grace to speak good and the grace to see the good in men. That spirit that is quick to see the negative aspects of men, take it out of my life. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Every negative spirit, every negative spirit, I cannot end this year being negative about people. I see the good in people. I see the good in people, regardless of their imperfections, regardless of their humanity. I see the good in people. Hallelujah. We are praying, Lord, flood my life with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That regardless of what happens in my life, let the joy of the Spirit. Is someone praying? Lord, I'm tired of anger. I'm tired of the frustration that life brings to me. Oh, I receive joy. Joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river. Like a river, flood my heart, oh God, with joy. Joy, joy, joy. Shabarakatos kelemias. Lord, if this is the last miracle you do for me for this year, then I receive it. Let there be joy, joy in the midst of the storm. When things are not making sense, when ministry is not moving forward, when my finances are not balancing up, joy. With a child or no child, joy. With a job or no job, joy. Hallelujah. When the Bible says the joy of the Lord can make men strong. The joy of the Lord. I tell you, there's a song in my spirit. I just prayed joy and I started. What's that Jewel song? Yeah, yeah. Na 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 na. You know the song? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Na, 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 na. 1 minute. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Joy. We are going to dance. You can trust me. You must hold on. You must dance every wickedness, dance every jealousy, dance every stress, and wave it goodbye. Hallelujah.
Final prayer point. Hold the hands of someone. Lord, let Koinonia remain a place of love, not just a place of power, not just a place of miracles. Thank you for what you are doing in us and from us to the nations of the earth. But Lord, we pray, no jealousy, no backbiting. Let the love of God, much more than the power of God, much more than the miracles, let it be the love of God that will compel souls to come again and again. Let it be the love of God that will heal the brokenhearted. Let it be the love of God that will set the captives free. For Koinonia so loved men, communicating the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do it this way. I will take the altar call now, then take the altar call, then I'll take announcement. Nobody is going. We'll dance for 5 minutes. I'm the one who will close the service by myself. Are we together? So after that, we're going to sing for 5 minutes and give God praise and thank Him. I don't know the song yet, but you can trust me. When we get to that bridge, a song will come and we're going to sing it. And then afterwards, we'll share the grace. And at least, you will practice what you just learned right now. Are we together? Apostle, I need Jesus. You are welcome right to this place now. There are people here who are saying, this is the last service. And Apostle, I heard you talk about love. And I testify that I have not encountered the love of Jesus genuinely. Or you are here saying, Apostle, I love Jesus, but the bitterness in my heart. I have things that I'm fighting. I'm fighting loved ones. I need a restoration. Please, if you are in any of these categories, make your way quickly to the front. I believe there are people you want to hand your life to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Quickly. There are people coming outside. Please quickly, quickly. We have just a few minutes. We have a minute for you. Very quickly. Apostle, I cannot end 2018 this way. I need to hand my life completely. I came from a background where I have been wounded, I have been hurt, and it looks like I cannot see the good in others. But tonight I want to lay it down. You're welcome. You're welcome. This cannot be all. I believe there are people Jesus is speaking to. You are outside. Make your way. Don't be ashamed. This is home for you. Keep coming.
All of your pain, all of your burden, lay it down. Oh, lay it down.
Keep coming. One more minute. I salute every one of you here. Listen, brothers and sisters, it is a big privilege when we stand before God, and it's my joy to lead some of you to make this decision for the first time. And there's others to rededicate your life. Come, you're welcome. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done or not done. Rebels don't come to God. Rebels run away from God. So if you ever found yourself before Him, then you are not a rebel. Lift your right hand, if you will, please, all of you, and say this prayer after me. Some of you are making this decision genuinely for the first time. Others, you are rededicating your life. You do not want to end this last service without a genuine assurance of salvation. Say after me, all of you in concert, say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, and I love you. Tonight, I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. I declare that you are my Savior, you are my King. I hand my life over with all the cares and the worries to you. and I declare that I take back your life in exchange. And I declare that from today, I am a child of God. I am born again. I receive grace to walk in victory. Amen. Jesus, thank you for these adorable people. You brought them by your Spirit to change them. Some of them are coming out here, Lord, to make decisions that will guarantee their eternal destiny. And others are here to lay all kinds of hurt and pain down and to rededicate their lives. The Bible declares that whoever will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. And Lord, we thank you. I pray that the grace to live victorious be granted you now in Jesus' name. Let the love of God, the peace and the joy that comes with this life, let it flood your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit that today begins a new journey in your life. Fresh grace for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you so much for making this decision. There are gentlemen waving their hands. Please, all of you, may I request that you just follow them very, very quickly. Follow them very quickly and they'll communicate a few details. Did you bring any point of contact? Oil, anything? Okay. Now, just 2 minutes. Our time is gone. But where's that K-string song? We're going to sing it. And then we'll just sing that song. What's your song now? The song with... Yes. That's what we're going to sing. So you will just sing it and dance. Nothing. You don't have to sing all the verses. We're singing and celebrating. And then I prophesy over whatever you have come with. And you go back home with it and watch the wonder working power of Jesus. Ready, worship team? Point of contact, whatever it is that you have brought. Whether it is oil or whatever, let me just speak over it in the name of Jesus.
the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare over whether it's your bottles of oil, your handkerchiefs, water, whatever it is that you're lifting, by the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ, may a fresh anointing come upon that point of contact now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that as you take these points of contact home or to your loved ones and apply them by faith, we release strange signs and wonders. You will come back with supernatural miracles, supernatural deliverances. In the name of Jesus, by these platforms, let the dead come back to life. By these platforms, let all manner of incurable diseases be healed. By this platform, let there be miracle testimonies. In the name of Jesus. And I speak over your life. You are not only going as an ambassador of heaven, we are sending you as an ambassador of this ministry. That you become an extension of everything God is doing here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak favor over your life. I decree and declare that as you travel, as you go around, the favor of God will be evident upon your life. I declare that your spiritual life will not go down. Your prayer life will not go down. Your word life will not go down. Now, I challenge the spirit of death that is over any life here or over any family to cause you to die, whether by accident, by plane crash, or by whatever mechanism. I command that every manifestation of the spirit of death be cursed now in the name of Jesus. You are not going home to go and see an obituary. You are going home and it must be celebration. I don't know what is not yet there, but I declare at your arrival, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let there be divine supplies. Let there be supernatural testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ. You go back to your homes, to your families, to tear down altars. You go back to your homes and families to tear down the works of darkness. In the name of Jesus. For your loved ones who are yet to be saved, may this be the holiday season where they encounter Jesus. And I decree and declare, I expect everyone here between now and January to at least take a day or two or three for a personal retreat. I don't have to go around it. We know this is a standard thing we do in the ministry. Everybody, this is a time to rest, but you must find between now and January when you must dedicate at least 2 to 3 days for your end of year retreat. Believers wait on God. You don't jump into the year carelessly. You can wait as a family. You can wait as an individual. You can wait on God. Lord, speak to me. I'll send the prophetic word for the year December 31st by 6. But before then, Lord, direct my life. What did you not do well this year? Lord, correct me. Help me. Direct me. Open me up. As you wait upon the Lord, may your heavens be open. Every matter you will be seeking direction for from God, I release my faith with you. May the God of the heavens answer you at your place of retreat. May it be an amazing time of supernatural encounter in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio
and download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853.